Welcome to the Right Turn Radio Podcast. I'm John Cohan.
And I'm Abby Dean.
And you're listening to New England's foremost addiction and mental health program. Hi, welcome to Right Turn Radio Podcast. My name is John Cohan. I'm here in the studio with Bruce Feeney and Tracy Wheeler, and on the phone with Joanne Peterson of Learn to Cope. Bruce and Tracy and Joanne, welcome to Right Turn Radio Podcast.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Joanne, we know you from previous Right Turn Radio broadcasts, but I want to introduce what's happening with Bruce and Tracy. They're running something called Rally to Recovery on Saturday, August 13th, and they're going to give us some of the specifics of that. But can you tell us a little more about this Rally to Recovery?
Sure. My wife and I, Tracy, and I have been Learn to Cope members for 2 years. We have a son who's 20 now and in recovery, but we've really credit everything that we've learned about addiction and helping people who are addicted and helping people navigate addiction. We credit Learn to Cope.
And this is Tracy. So one of the things that we did whilst our son was actively using was attend Learn to Cope meetings, but we also used riding our motorcycles as a coping strategy.
Yeah, that's great.
And we sort of put two and two together. And as we have moved on, we've decided that we want to help raise money for Learn to Cope. And we're putting together our love for riding motorcycles with our attendance at Learn to Cope. And that's how it all came together.
So tell us a little, first of all, tell us a little about the rally, where it meets, what, you know, how many folks are going to be involved.
Okay. Well, first I just want to say it was last September when I was trying to figure out how to do something like this. And a light bulb went off and I said, you know, this would be a great way to raise money for Joanne Peterson and Learn to Cope. And so I approached them in October and they were very receptive. So between October and now, I basically have been out there proselytizing on Facebook, going to different other fundraising rallies and handing out flyers and talking to lots of people. And we say rally to recovery. It's a ride of like-minded folks who are either bikers and just love biking or people who ride and are also dealing with someone addicted in their family. And we're finding the more that we connect with people when we go to these biking events and we talk about this, almost everybody says, oh, yeah, you know, there's someone in my family who is addicted to drugs, or there's someone in my family who's in recovery. So it's easy to see the relationship between people, and it's not just about bikes.
So the details of the race are that it's on August 13th, which is a Saturday, and we start in Ware, Massachusetts, at the Walmart parking lot. Kickstands are up at 11 o'clock. And we ride all the way on Route 9 into Worcester, right into the center of Worcester, and the rally ends at the WPI Gateway Park. It's about a 40-mile ride. And we have bands, we have food, we have several speakers, and all sorts of activities and tables set up at the end.
The great thing is that I have a real relationship with police departments along the way. I do a lot of work with them on the side as a friendly gesture. And so I've managed to secure a police escort for this ride, so we won't have to stop for traffic lights or intersections. It's going to be a straight-through ride.
What a wonderful idea, and what a way to kind of pay back your gratitude to Learn to Cope. I know what Learn to Cope is. You guys have clearly benefited from it in your life and seen hundreds of people's and the families really benefit. But let's go straight to the source. Joanne, welcome.
Thank you. And I would love to thank Bruce and Tracy for all they're doing. It's amazing what they're doing to Learn to Cope. And on behalf of our staff and all our members, I just want to thank them.
Well, so can you tell us something about Learn to Cope for folks who haven't heard of what you do? How you founded it and where you guys are at today?
Sure. Learn to Cope has been around for 12 years. We're actually going on our 13th year. Started back in 2004. for about 3 years before that, I had been struggling myself with my son, who is today in long-term recovery, and it had started with OxyContin and heroin, and our family really didn't have anywhere to turn. It was before anyone really knew what OxyContin was. It was before anyone really even knew there was an epidemic. It was at the time where it was just sort of seeping under people's doorways silently, and I didn't know what was wrong with him. It took me a while to even figure it out. And once I did, I hit every brick wall that there could be when it came to treatment, learning about treatment, knowing where treatment was. So I needed a lot of help, and I wasn't finding it. To make a long story short, I kind of came out by 2004 because I had about had it. My family was really suffering. My younger children were really suffering. My marriage, everything. And he ended up in some big trouble, which goes hand in hand usually with the opiate addiction especially. And, he ended up arrested, which later on was the stepping stone to him, one of the stepping stones to him finding recovery later on, years later. But once he was in trouble, it got into the newspapers about what he did, but no one really cared about why and what was going on behind it. So I sort of came out to get my dignity back, my family's dignity back. We were really being judged and stigmatized in the area because the word heroin alone was shocking to people back then, as it still is to some today. And, as soon as that came out, then the judgment began. So I figured, if we're going to be talked about, we might as well come out and talk about the other side and what happened. Because before that, I would be at the football field as he played football through high school and baseball and basketball, and then that happened and things changed quickly. I was no longer very popular, so I said I might as well tell the story behind the story. Everybody's already talking about it. I might as well tell them what's going on. And as soon as I did that, I heard from hundreds of people that were going through this. Word got out quick, and I started trying to email back and forth with people, trying to help them that way, and then eventually said, let's just start meeting, and that was in April of 2004, and today we have 23 chapters around the state of Massachusetts. We are supported, partially funded by the Department of Public Health Bureau of Substance Abuse Services. We'll have 24 chapters. We're just starting Fall River next week. That will be our 24th. We have a website with over 8,000 people. It's not like Facebook. It's very private. The private forum, people sign up for. Everything's free. Everything's anonymous. Our meetings are full of support, education, resources, and hope. Those are the four things I needed and did not have. So we have about 200 volunteers that facilitate meetings. About 70 of those volunteers are also Narcan trainers. We supply Narcan. We're one of the pilots for the Department of Public Health in the state of Massachusetts to actually train and pass out Narcan.
And Narcan is naloxone that helps reverse overdoses, just for folks who don't know.
Right. Also known as nasal naloxone, which is an antidote that reverses an overdose. And we've had over 100 reversals since we started passing that out in December of 2011. And that's families literally saving their own family members at home. And people ask, well, why are they home? And sometimes they're home because they just got out of a 3 or 4 day detox. They can't find, there's a huge gap between finding longer term treatment between detox and needing to go on to further treatment. And so sometimes, they go home and that can be very dangerous with a relapse. So the families are equipped with Narcan. They know what to look for. They know what the signs and symptoms are and how to use it. So we're very grateful to live in Massachusetts to have the opportunity to even give that out, and it's free.
Well, I think it's important, Joanne, because you're not going to toot your own horn, so I'm going to toot it for you, just how important Learn to Cope and you have been in driving the great kind of movement we've seen from law enforcement, from first responders, from our legislative branch and the governor's office of creating an awareness of the opiate epidemic, trying to reduce stigma, but also putting real things into action. And Bruce and Tracy here are you know, concrete examples of people who have directly benefited from it. And what's fascinating to me is this, you know, when you enter a group of a support group of people, you never know the kind of folks you're going to meet. And then you meet and make these bonds. And that's what we see for somebody who works as a professional in the field, as well as somebody who's in recovery himself, to see these bonds and the strength of the folks that have who benefited from Learn to Cope and the families and the support they get is really one. We're so proud that you're in this state. We're so proud of the model that you guys have created that people are starting to become aware of elsewhere to fight this epidemic. So I just had to put in a good word for you because you weren't going to do it for yourself.
Well, it's
thank you so much. That's nice of you. Thank you.
It's the family.
We are very lucky here in Massachusetts. Our, you know, Governor Baker and the administration has been amazing as far as making some serious changes that we've needed for a very long time.
Absolutely.
So we're grateful. Thank you.
Yeah. But I'm interested with Bruce and Tracy. Bruce Feeney and Tracy Wheeler are the creators of Rally to Recovery, which is happening August 13th, starting in Ware, Mass., ending up in Worcester, Mass. It's a motorcycle rally to support Learn to Cope. I'm interested in a little bit of your personal story. Do you guys feel comfortable talking about that?
Yes, absolutely. I also wanted to say that Learn to Cope is the family you never wanted to belong to. But it's a damn good family to be a part of.
Oh, that's great. You know. Thank you.
And I would also like to say that thank you to Peggy Murphy, who has been one of the people that has been raising money from corporate sponsors, and she's doing a tremendous job for us.
Mm-hmm. We can't forget Peggy. She's calling us every day. She works so hard out there. I agree.
Yeah.
So can you guys tell me a little about your personal story about how you came to Learn to Cope?
Sure. So we have a son whose name is Walker, and he's 20 years old. He's currently in early recovery. But we started, and I say we because our whole family started on this journey with his addiction when he was about 16.
Yes.
And you know, like most of the families at Learn to Cope, he has been through multiple programs. He's been through detox multiple times. And one of the things, you know, I wrote down some things that I wanted to make sure I said, that I feel as his mom, what I've received from Learn to Cope is an education about addiction. I've received lots and lots of support from other people who are going through it. We talk about programs. We talk about which programs are working for kids, which ones aren't. So our story is that Walker was about 16 when we found out that he had started using prescription drugs and moved to shooting up heroin. He was a kid who rode crew in high school and actually was in the head of the Charles Regatta at one point when he was in high school. And it was a very quick decline.
You know, you don't know anything about this stuff as parents. We were liberal parents, and we knew about drugs, but we didn't know about opiates. And we were aware that our son had smoked pot, and we were aware that our son had drank beer. And these were not huge concerns. He was a very good student, and he hung out with a very good crew of people. And it's just one of those things. One person out of a group of 10 is going to walk away fully addicted, and our son was one of them. So we were lucky that a friend of his cared about him enough to tell his mom, and that mom called us and told us that our son was shooting up heroin. And so I was like, oh boy, what do we do now?
What do we do now? Nobody trains you for this.
No.
It's not in the parent training manual.
Absolutely not.
And we know so many families that are just like deer in the headlights.
Yeah.
What did you guys do?
The first thing we did was we took him to the emergency room because we didn't know what else to do. We walked in and he got medically cleared, and we ended up in the emergency mental health section of the hospital at UMass in Worcester. And it became clear that what was going on with him was addiction. And the folks at the emergency room helped us on the first jump. He went to a detox and a program at MIR, which is Motivating Youth Recovery in Worcester. It was one of a long series of programs that he ended up getting kicked out of, which is another thing that frequently happens.
Yes. We actually used, at one point, we did use a Section 35. Which is a legal process in Massachusetts that allows you to involuntarily commit someone who's a danger to themselves and to other people. Mm-hmm. So that was actually a good thing. And he, even though hated it at the time, has said it was a help. Yeah.
So here you guys are. You have this child you're worried to death of.
Yeah.
You're traumatized by this. How did you find out about Learn to Cope?
The newspaper. Telegram and Gazette in Worcester, there was a big article on a Sunday, and I read that Sunday paper, and I saw this article about Learn to Cope, and we were at the next meeting that following Thursday.
What was that, the first experience like at Learn to Cope for you?
Really great. Mm. We were nervous going in, but very quickly you start hearing other people's stories, and you go, oh my God, they're experiencing the exact same thing we are.
Mm-hmm. So you get the identification, you get the support.
Yep.
What else?
So our group in Worcester brings in a lot of, in addition to sort of sharing amongst ourselves and supporting each other, we bring in a lot of speakers. So there's a lot of folks who come in from the recovery community and talk about their own journey through addiction and into recovery. So that gave us lots and lots of hope. We heard lots and lots of people in recovery coming to speak to us about, you know, how they found their way to recovery. We have folks who are known in their field or experts in their field of addiction. We have folks come from various different programs to come and talk about their programs to our group. When we first went, it was really difficult to share. We were pretty quiet, I think, the first few times we went. Mm-hmm. But as Bruce said, it was quick that we felt a part of that family.
Yeah,
that's great. Well, Rally to Recovery, Saturday, August 13th. The website is the best way to find out more. Rally2Recovery.com. Rally2Recovery.com. How can people get in touch with Learn to Cope?
We have a website. It's www.learn2cope.org. Or they can always call our office at 508-738-5148. And then if somebody needs help after hours, after 5 or on a weekend, they can call our peer recovery phone, which is 508-801-3247, and someone checks that phone every day after 3 on weekdays and on the weekends, and they call people back if they need just somebody to talk to. It's not really a 24-hour hotline, but it's somebody on the other end of the phone that's really good and really caring that can help out.
Bruce Feeney and Tracy Wheeler of Rally to Recovery, thank you so much for being on Right Turn Radio Podcast.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for sharing your story. And Joanne Peterson of Learn to Cope, thank you so much for being back on the show.
Thank you. Always a pleasure.
You've been listening to the Right Turn Radio Podcast. Check us out at right-turn.org. I'm John Cohan.
And I'm Abby Dean. Remember, be safe and ask for help.